get Brother Gellis up. I'm glad he and Caitlin can be with her folks over the holidays. It's always a blessing to be with your family. And good, he's here tonight. He's a good preacher. If you've not heard Brother Brent, you'll enjoy the message tonight. God's used him and is using him, and I think we'll use him a greater way this year. So, Brother Gellis, it is your pulpit. Come say a word.
Thank you. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. It's been good to be back home for the past couple days, but I must confess I'm heading south here in a few days. I'm going to leave Katie here. In fact, I'm heading to Florida and Alabama. We'll be at a conference preaching and attending as well. And we'll be back for a couple days. And then we're going to head to southern Arizona. So it's going to be a struggle in our life the next couple weeks. So pray for us. Southern Arizona, there's a church getting started February 14th. Catalina Baptist Church, I think, is the name. And it's a suburb of Tucson. And our goal is to be out there for about 3 weeks prior and about 3 weeks after the start, just to assist in whatever capacity and do a lot of door knocking and soul winning. And we're excited. We're excited about getting out there and being a blessing. The pastor's name is Kirk Kramer. He's been an assistant for probably about 10, 15 years now. And the Lord's moving him to start a church in Tucson. There's nothing there, not a church at all, nothing. And so he's excited, and so we're excited for him. In Jeremiah chapter 2, we're going to get into the text in just a minute. But maybe some of you know what it's like to trade. I remember when I was probably 8 or 9, I used to love baseball cards. Any baseball card addicts in here? Okay, I love baseball cards. And if you went to my parents' house right now and looked under the bed, baseball cards don't do much in a fifth wheel. But if you looked under the bed of my parents' house, you would find probably upwards of 125,000 baseball cards. Scores of baseball cards. I remember collecting for years. And one of the things I love to do was trade with my friends. I had 3 friends across the street when I was growing up. And all of us were Christian boys, all went to the same Christian school and same church and everything. We loved getting together and trading baseball cards. I look back now and I think of how many times I was gypped because all 3 of those friends were older and wiser and smarter than I was. I remember trading baseball cards. And when you trade, one of the principles of trading is you want to get something that's useful. You want to get something that will work, something that will be about the same value. Maybe you've traded a car in before, something that worked, a car that worked but was just getting high miles. You traded in for a newer car, maybe even a new car, but when you got the car, you had problems with the car. I remember another time working in shop, and I loved part of the way I put myself through college was by working, building cabinets. One time we got a new tool in, and we got rid of another tool, and the tool we got rid of worked fine. Nothing wrong with it, but this new tool was supposed to take its place and do 10 times more. But we were disappointed because after just a few hours, we figured out this tool that we had traded was really worthless, didn't meet the expectations that were required. In Jeremiah chapter 2, we find a trade here. We find a trade that took place, and the trade was definitely not equal. Look what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 3. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, Jeremiah is speaking here, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Jehovah God had made a promise, a conditional covenant with Israel back in Exodus chapter 19. Don't turn there, but in Exodus chapter 19, the Bible says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." God had promised them, if you obey me, I will take care of you. But in the same hand, God had also promised me, if you don't obey, if you don't follow after me, I will chasten you. I will come after you. And God was true to his covenant. Israel was definitely not. And so God chastened them. And God made a covenant with them 900 years before Jeremiah was writing this. Jeremiah is writing around the time that the captivity took place, 500 years before Christ. And Jeremiah said that God had made a covenant. And then verse 4, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel." And then in verse 5, the Lord Jehovah begins to speak using the prophet Jeremiah. "Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me?" What iniquity have your fathers found in me? Jehovah God, Yahweh, as some people call him, Jehovah God asked through the prophet Jeremiah to his own people, "What iniquity have your fathers found in me? What is wrong with me?" God asked, "What did I do to you? Where have I gone wrong? Where have I mistreated you? what iniquity have your fathers found in me? And tonight, let's ask the question and answer it from the Word of God. What is wrong with God? Now, obviously, we know nothing is. But that's the question that God asked. So let's see what God is asking here. He asked them, asked His people, what is wrong with me? Where have I gone wrong? The Bible says in verse number 5, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of a shadow of death, through the land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? They forsook the God that had led them. They forsook the God that had guided them. They forsook the God that was there for them, that had provided for them. They forgot what He had done. And Israel was asked, and God was asking Israel, hey, what did I do to you? Where did I go wrong? How did I offend you? Remember what I did for you? I provided for you. I protected you. I guided you. I fed you. I gave you the land that you have now. What have I done to you? They forsook God. They forgot about what God had done. They didn't remember the God who protected them. And oh, how soon and how quick we are to forget God. We had a great service Sunday night. That was an exciting service, remembering what God has done, how God's been faithful. But isn't it quick? Aren't we quick to forget that usually? Forget what God's done in the past, how He's provided financially and spiritually. Forget what He's done. Forget what He has. Forget His power. Forget His Word. And don't we just wonder sometimes and doubt when we need to go back and remember what God has done? God says, you forgot what I've done for you. Then in verse 7, and I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. God says, I brought you into a place and I gave everything you need to succeed. But when you came in, you started worshiping pagans. You took the talents, the time, the possessions that I gave you and you perverted it. And oh, how often do we pervert the gifts of God? God's given us this life to serve Him. And when we don't serve Him, we're taking what God has given us and we're perverting it. We're using it improperly. And Jehovah God said, Israel, I'm upset with you. What iniquity have I, what have I done wrong to you? I provided for you, yet you've forgotten me. I gave you gifts, I gave you talents, I gave you land, yet you perverted it. And then verse 8, the priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. God said, I gave you all that you need, yet you turned your back on me. The leaders, the priests, the lawgivers, the pastors, the prophets, all failed in their jobs. They all failed to listen to the Word of God. They all failed to give it. And as a result, the people were left ignorant. We're left unknowing the Word of God. We're left not knowing what God could do for them. And God was saying, Israel, where have I gone wrong? Where have I failed you? What is wrong with me? Then He says, this is what your past was in verses 6 through 9. And then we see God's plea in verses 9 through 13. God Himself says, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. God saying, even though for the past 900 years, largely you've forgotten me, I'm going to continue to pursue you. I'm going to continue to try to get into your thick head. I'm going to continue to try to work with you. I'm going to continue to try to do something with you. And we know that God is merciful. But oh, how often we see that God in my life, I've seen even recently, how God's had to repeatedly come back and say, Hey, what have I done? What have I done to you? Why can't you trust me? And yes, we've trusted God with the general part of our life, but sometimes days go by, or a day comes and things happen. Stresses come and we say, well, God, I don't know if you can take care of my life. And the question we have to ask is, what has God done to us? What is wrong with God? Yes, we'll trust God for the big picture of our life. We've surrendered our life to God, but have we surrendered that hour? That day, that minute, that portion of our life, that season, God is asking us tonight, what is wrong with me? Where have I offended you? Where have I gone wrong? The Bible says in verse 9, Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. I'm going to continue to do this. For pass over the isles of Chittim, and see and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. God is saying, go, look around, think about what has happened here. I've been so good to you. Look around, see if this even makes sense. Verse number 11. Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. God is saying here, the nation that hath a god, that doesn't have a god, that has idols, are they going to change them? No, they don't need to change them. They don't do anything anyway. But he says, my people who have a god have gotten rid of me. They've changed something that worked for something that didn't work. They made a horrible mistake in a trade here. And this is worse than trading baseball cards. This is worse than even getting gypped at a used car lot. They traded God who worked for something that didn't. The Bible says in verse number 12, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. God who had done everything for them, who had been faithful time and time and time and time and time again. Faithful as clockwork, as none of us knew what that saying was Sunday night. But God is faithful. He was always faithful. God, by nature, is faithful. More faithful than we can comprehend. And He was faithful to His people as well. He was so good to them. Time and time again, the judges came and said, you got to change. And so they changed. And then they crept back into apostasy and went into bondage. Then judges came and said, you got to change. They crept back into apostasy later. And it was a vicious cycle over and over again. Then they got kings, and they had one bad king, and then they had a good king who has had a heart for God, and they succeeded. And then they had a reign of successive bad kings, and they split the kingdoms. And the southern kingdom had a couple good ones and a lot of bad ones, and the northern kingdom was all bad. But yet God was faithful. God was true to His word. God was right. God still protected them. God was still their provision. God still gave them their everything they had. God was their God, and He wanted to be their people. And He asked in verse 12, He says, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. Pretty much God is saying, this is bad, very bad. He says in verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Then they've hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Back in Bible days, cisterns were very important. Much of Palestine back then, as it is today, was arid. So a cistern was used to collect water. Many times a courthouse in the middle of a house would have a cistern. The roof would all slope down that way. And it would be used probably not for drinking, but for bathing, but for laundry, for cooking, for any number of things. So a cistern was very important, especially if you didn't have a river or a source of water nearby. You had to save your cistern. And sometimes you'd have communal cisterns, and some of those still survive to this day in the archaeological ruins. They had cisterns that they would hold thousands and thousands of gallons of water. And if the cistern was broken or leaked, it was a serious matter. It meant that you couldn't survive in that place. Cisterns were very important. And God is saying here, Israel, you've done something. You've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. I could give you living water. But not only that, you've hewed yourselves out broken cisterns. Cisterns that can hold no water. You've made a horrible trade. You forsook what worked for that which didn't. It's almost as though they were living in a $1 million mansion. And they said, oh, we're going to trade this for a refrigerator box without the lid. That's what we're going to live in. It's almost as though they had a classic antique car, a $250,000 Porsche or Ferrari. And they said, we're going to trade it for a junkyard heap without tires, rims, and a windshield or engine. They made a horrible mistake here. They traded that which worked and for that which didn't. And God said, I am upset. Be astonished. Be horribly afraid. He says, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water. And friend, when you and I in our lifetime and in our jobs, ministries, daily, whatever, when we stop trusting God with our life, maybe not even our entire life. Yes, God, I'll trust you with our entire life. But when we stop trusting God daily or hourly, when we start to use the flesh, when we try to do it ourselves, you know what we're doing? We're making a trade. We're trading what works, what's proven, what has eternal promises attached to it, for what is absolutely useless. Think with me, a big rubber container that has a hole in the bottom. If it's designed to hold water, can it hold water? No. I have several cisterns on my trailer. Some of them hold various different liquids. And then you can imagine what liquids they hold. But I have four or five different cisterns, 40, 70-gallon cisterns, tanks on my trailer. Now, if those tanks have leaks in it, it's bad. They're useless. They can't be patched. You pretty much have to do away with them. You can't use them. You have to do a lot of major work in repairing them. Yet, if a cistern is broken back in Bible times, it had to be repaired. It was useless until it was repaired. And when we don't trust God with our life, when we don't look to God for provision and strength and guidance, it's as though we've traded a living well for a broken cistern, a worthless broken pot, a worthless broken tank, something that can do nothing, that is worth nothing, that means nothing. And God says, Israel, I don't understand. What have I done to you? Where have I gone wrong? What is wrong with God? And friends, tonight, that's a valid question that every single one of us have to ask ourselves. What is wrong with God? What has God done to us? Where has God been unfaithful? What has God done in our lives that means that we shouldn't serve Him anymore? What is wrong with God? Friend, the answer is nothing. When we stop trusting God, whether it be for a minute or for a year, we are trading that which works for that which is useless. For that which is no value, nothing. We are making a trade. We are gypping ourselves. We are cheating ourselves of the power of God. We are trading eternal promises for empty lies. And so often we do that. Quicker than we know it even. And yes, maybe you're here tonight and you're a believer. You've trusted Christ, your Savior, yet there's never been a time in your life where you say, God, here's my life, you can take it. Well, then, my friend, you are not living to your full potential. There's so much more out there if you would surrender your life to God. But I would assume that most everybody here has already placed their faith in Christ as Savior, but also as their Lord and Master. They want to follow God with your life. But perhaps there's the daily times. The weekly times, the monthly times, where you take yourself off of the altar. A living sacrifice can crawl off, and often we do. We pull ourselves off the altar and say, well, God, this season right here, there's finances, and this next month is going to be tough. And so I'm going to have to do this. Wait a minute, what are you doing? You are replacing that which works for that which is useless. You're trading. God's asking you, what's wrong with me? Why can't you trust me? What iniquity have your fathers found in me? What is wrong with God? Maybe it's relationships, family dynamics, something has happened. You say, well, God, I don't know, but what are you doing? You're not trusting God. You're trying to work it out your own strength. You're not allowing God to do it. You are replacing what works, the fountain of living water, for a broken cistern. And we can go down the list. We can name a lot of different opportunities, but that's the Holy Spirit's job in your life. And the Holy Spirit perhaps is speaking to you tonight about something very specific in your life where you've traded God, who can work and do incredible things His way, and you've tried to do it your way. You've taken yourself and you say, well, I don't think I can trust God for finances or relationship or family or whatever. Whatever area it is. It could be one big area or one little area. It doesn't matter. What are you doing? You are trading that which doesn't work for that which works. That which works for that which doesn't work. And God is saying, my nation, my people have committed two evils. Verse 13, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out broken cisterns that can hold no water. And Jeremiah goes on, and as Pastor referred to on Sunday, he is the weeping prophet. He describes incredible torment, agony of soul, because the nation of Israel was about to go into bondage. They did not repent. They did not change. In fact, they rejected God here. And so God had to be true to His word. and he gave them over to their enemies. How many believers today, maybe even seated here tonight, have been given over to something bondage of this life, and yet they can have victory in an area, and yet they won't choose to trust God. They're trying to do it themselves. They've made a trade, and they're thinking they're getting the better, but they're actually getting the worse. And God is saying to you, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, trust me. What iniquity have I done to you? What's wrong with God? Absolutely nothing. Teenager, you can trust Him with your life. You might have questions about the future. Nothing's wrong with God. He's faithful. He'll be there for you. Maybe there's different stages in life right now. Well, you can trust God. Nothing is wrong with our God. Trust Him. And Jehovah God here tonight, through in this passage, is speaking to His people. But He's also speaking to us as well. There's nothing wrong with God. We can trust Him with our life. We can trust Him with our everything, our families, our finances, every area of our life. We can say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you have for my life? And God is always faithful. And maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You're trying to be good, do good, look good. You're trying to get to heaven your own way. You know what you are? You have the empty cistern, a broken cistern that is worthless. Your religion is a broken cistern. What you need is Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. That's the only way of salvation. And you can try hard. You can be baptized. You can do all these good things. You can give them the offering, be a good person, dress nicely. All those things are great things, but they can't save you. That's a broken cistern. Jesus Christ said in John, I am the well. I'm the living water. He told the woman at the well in John 4, I am the water that you can drink of. I'm eternal life. And if you drink of Jesus Christ, if you trust Him for your salvation, the Bible says you have eternal life, life without end, life that will go on forever and ever and ever and ever. And you can be saved and you can know it. And if you're not saved, tonight's a great night to do so. Today's a great day to trust Christ as your Savior, to understand that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for your sin. Not so you can try to work your way to heaven, but so that you can say, God, I can't save myself. I need you to save me. If you've never trusted Christ, you can do that tonight. And then, believer here tonight, is there an area in your life, maybe a big area, maybe a small area, where God has spoken to you tonight through the preaching of His Word, where you've made a trade? You've traded what works, what is proven. You've traded the promises of God for a broken cistern. And God is asking you, what's wrong with me? Where have I gone wrong? God's saying, where have I been unfaithful to you? Can't you trust me? What have I done to you? What iniquity have you found in me? And the answer is none. God is always faithful, and He deserves every ounce, every fiber of our being, every moment of our life, solely committed to Him and what He wants us to do. Let's bow our hearts and our heads. We're going to have a simple invitation. Very much like we have. If God has spoken to your heart, this is going to be a chance for you to do business with God. I'm curious, though, is there anyone here who would say, Brother Brent, as you were speaking, I'm not sure that if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that heaven is my home. I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Amen. I see the hand. Some children's hands. Amen. Sensitive of the Spirit. Anyone else? God spoke to me. I don't know for sure I'm saved. Some children's hands. Praise the Lord. How many believers tonight would say, Brent, God spoke to me. I've made a trade. I've traded what works for broken cisterns. I've traded the fountain of living water for something that doesn't work. God's pointed out to me, and I want to make that right. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? God spoke to my heart. Amen. In just a minute, the piano is going to play. If God's spoken to you, you do business with God. Father, during this invitation, have your will and way, work in our hearts and lives. With heads bowed and eyes still closed, let's all stand to our feet.